Praise the Lord. There's a verse in James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. There's that word that stands out to me, unstable. None of us like to sit in a chair that's unstable or stand on a ladder that's unstable. It's dangerous. We use things that we know are stable and firm. Amen? And I think all of us want to be instruments in the hand of the Lord to help our children, our family, a lost world that is very unstable. And it mentions here a double-minded man. Double. It means more than one. Yes. A man that is going out with two women at one time, or has two women, we would say is not a very honest man, not a very stable man. He can't decide between one or the other. A diamond to be formed goes through constant pressure. And I don't understand all the details. I've tried to research it and haven't found much on it. But from what I understand, that it was coal or charcoal at one time. And then the deep center of the earth, it was really, really heated by constant pressure, and it became a diamond. And, you know, all of us in this room would say that none of us want to go through fiery trials. We don't like the days when things are going wrong or when we're presented with a challenge. But that's what's going to make us diamonds. That constant pressure, that constant trial, that constant... the Lord sends these trials, allows the trials, allows the tests to make us into diamonds. Something that was not very valuable is now much, much more valuable. Diamonds are very, very expensive. Much more expensive than coal. Amen? A diamond becomes a diamond through constant pressure. Maybe that'll help us look at pressure a different way. The pressure that's around us, the Lord is allowing it to make us diamonds that will shine for Him, that His light will be shining from us. A pearl is formed by constant irritation in the oyster. I have seen pictures of it, and I've seen the real oyster open with the pearl inside of it. We were at a place one time where they were displaying it, and they explained a lot to us about it. I had read up on it in the encyclopedia, and it just made it more vivid for me to see it. And there were all different colors of pearls. I didn't know there were different colors. I don't remember all the colors, but they're not just white. A lot of different colors. And depending on the color, depending on the shape, depending on the size, determines their value. And so that pearl did not come through a pleasant experience. The oyster, something gets inside of it. It could be an insect, it could be a grain of sand, something. And it's irritating the oyster. Amen? Yeah. And it's constantly irritated, so it releases its tears. Like when we cry, those tears are... The tear itself is not causing something good, but the thing that is causing the tears in our life, if they're tears of... they'll bring us closer to the Lord, those are good tears. Yeah. So that oyster secretes its tears or nacre. It's a milky white substance that puts one layer around the little insect or the little piece of grand sand or little glass that maybe some broke and it fell inside the oyster. And it secretes it to keep it from irritating it. And it keeps on laying another layer. And that's how the pearls are formed. And they're very valuable. And we as God's people don't wear them, of course, but there are many women that showcase them, and they're very expensive. A pearl is formed by constant irritation. Yes. Maybe that'll help us to see how important it is that when we face irritations, our children irritating us, our parents irritating us, our schoolmates irritating us, our work co-workers irritating us, or the world in general irritating us, our husband or our wife irritating us, remember that the Lord is allowing that to make us into something valuable. A pearl is formed shape. It becomes into being by constant irritation. Thank the Lord. A potter, we've heard a lot about the clay and the potter. We are the clay. God is the potter. We are in His hands. We can be hard clay, soft clay, unyielding clay, or very yielding clay. Just pliable. I've worked with clay, as I mentioned, and it's wonderful to work with clay that will just move how you want it to move. And of course, if it didn't come out right, it was my fault. But thank the Lord that we're in the hands of the perfect potter, and He knows exactly what He's doing with us. No mistakes with Him. If there's mistakes, it'll be with us. Amen. Thank the Lord. A vessel of value, of usefulness, is formed by constant pressure. The constant pressure of the hand of the potter on the inside and the hand of the potter on the outside. Amen. We need both. The hand of we're working on the inside, and then it's showing outside in our how we carry our body, what we do with our body, and what comes out of our mouth. Amen. Thank the Lord. Where we go, where we don't go. A vessel of value, a vessel that was at one time without shape, useless, comes into being by constant pressure, by the constant molding of the hand of the potter. And so it tells us there, as we said, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. It says in Genesis, remember the time that Jacob was blessing his sons, Genesis 49. And one of the sons, Reuben, this is what he said to him, Genesis 49, verse 3. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power. He told him, appears of positive blessings. And then he says, unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. Oh, may the Lord help us, saints. Maybe we do have some wonderful qualities. Maybe we excel at certain points. Maybe in other points, the Lord would have to say, in that point, you are unstable as water. May the Lord help us, and that we won't excel in that point because we're unstable as water. You know, water will take the shape of whatever it's poured into. When we're around our school friends of the world, do we become like water and fall into their mold? Start talking like them, acting with them, going where they go, dressing like them? Then we come to meeting and we're all holy? May the Lord help us. May we not be as unstable as water. Amen? You know, when I was growing up, I gave my life to the Lord. I was very young. I fell on the floor at age 8 and prayed. And he began to work then an awakening. And at age 11, a 90-year-old black man gave me the Bible. And then there was more work done. At age 14, I stood up in the church congregation of the church that we have now left. And I committed myself to being with them, standing with them, and remaining faithful to my Lord. But when I first made that stand, going to school, I knew that I now had a responsibility before the Lord, just like when you vow to your wife at marriage, yes, sickness and in health, to be faithful. Amen? You vow to one another. I now have a responsibility to follow through and to be stable. And my thoughts today are about being constant. In school, before I really committed my life to the Lord, it was easy to not give thanks for my food. I'd do it around God's people, the saints. But at school, I would do it more readily when nobody was watching. But I remember the first time that I was convicted that I needed to be thankful at all times for my food before the world, whether they're watching or not. And I remember when I'd stand in the cafeteria line, I'd be pretend like I was unbuttoning my shirt and going like this. And I'd give thanks for my food right there, and then when I get to my food, I could eat it. And then there were other times when I'd be sitting down and they were talking to me and I had to bow my head, and it was difficult to do. Sometimes I would pretend I was looking down, and the day came when the Lord convicted me. You're being ashamed of me. Yes. You're not being constant in this point. How is the world going to know that we are God's people if we don't act like God's people? Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. If we are not giving thanks for our food before the world, number one, maybe we're just unthankful. Number two, maybe we just are ashamed to do it in front of others. Oh, may the Lord find us constant in every point. May we be a witness. Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. So let your light shine before the world that they may see your good works and glorify who? Me? Us? No. They may glorify your Father in heaven. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, how sad this verse is. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. We cannot expect to excel. That's right. and every aspect of our life as a spiritual Christian if we are not asking the Lord to make us constant, stable in Him. Thank the Lord. Water also, if you put it in the freezer, what happens to it? It becomes like the temperature in the freezer. It gets solid, frozen, solid. You put it outside on the boiling Texas road, asphalt road, what will happen to it? It will almost start to boil. It becomes like its surroundings, atmosphere. Amen? It's unstable. It doesn't remain the same. It changes with where it's at. Amen? Pour some in a pan and turn the fire underneath it. It'll start to boil pretty soon. Amen? It doesn't remain the same. It'll even change to vapor after a while. It's unstable. The Lord doesn't want us to be that way. And who can make us stable? Who can make us constant? Only the Lord. Amen. It requires, the Lord is not going to make us. He wants to awaken us so that we realize where we need to change. And then we're going to cry to Him and ask Him. He wants us to ask. We have free will. And then when we ask, He's going to be faithful. If we're asking in earnest, He's going to be faithful in making us constant in that area where we are lacking being constant. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. May He help us, brothers and sisters. Through the years, He has worked with me, and even as I go on with Him, I find that in many areas, I am still not as constant as He would want me to be. Amen? We might already be saved, justified, sanctified. Amen? But we can still grow in grace and understanding. Amen. He's still molding us and shaping us. Thank the Lord. Because we serve a Lord that is constant, the good news is that when we become His child, we become partakers of His divine nature. Amen? We become partakers of His divine nature. He imparts to us who He is. And that's why Christianity is not us working to be saved. It's us yielding to Him. He reaches down in grace and we reach up in faith and grab a hold. There's a connection made. His grace reaching down and our faith reaching up saves us. Amen? Thank the Lord. And so, it's His work in us, but yet there's our part in yielding to that. Listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, telling us when that's not right, you have to change that. Yield to the Holy Spirit, and He will do the work in us. Amen? May the Lord help us. May the Lord help me to yield to Him. We serve a constant God, and because God is constant, He wants us to be constant. And that's why He imparts His grace, the power of His Holy Spirit, the mind of Christ, so that we will become constant as He is. It says in Hebrews chapter 13, Jesus Christ the same. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. How precious. Jesus is the same in all times. One time, when I was a missionary in my early 20s, a preacher, a minister, a servant, the Lord called me to preach when I was 11 years old. I didn't yield to that, although I was still preaching. I didn't call it preaching. I was witnessing and exhorting to all my family and everybody around me. But at age 20, I finally gave in to that. And from age 20 to almost age 30, I was a part of a denomination calling itself a non-denominational church where I preached. And we would travel in pairs, two and two, homeless. We sold everything. We'd live by faith. Didn't have any possessions except for a little suitcase that we took with us. We were following some scripture that it had been just tweaked, exaggerated a little bit, at the expense of other scriptures. But since we were traveling, we'd sometimes pop into towns where if you were in that town, you didn't know we were there. We might all of a sudden come ring your doorbell and you didn't know we were coming. We try not to do that, but sometimes we would. But we stopped at a restaurant, I think it was a Whataburger, to eat as we arrived into that town. And we saw a young teenagers in that restaurant eating. And I looked over there and there was one of our young saint ladies, a young teenager, maybe 15. She didn't know we were going to be there. She didn't know we were listening to her conversation. And I was so thrilled. I felt so happy to see her. She was not combed in a way that was dishonoring God. She had her long uncut hair. She did not have anything on her face that she should not have, like eyeliner, eyeshadow or lipstick or paint. She didn't have that on her. She wasn't wearing a pair of tight jeans. She was wearing her dress. And they were talking, some things that they were talking about weren't very good, but she was sitting there quietly listening with her friends. And she was not acting in any way that would have dishonored Jesus if he would have seen her on that day. And that girl has proven throughout the years, she married a faithful young man. She's teaching her children to love the Lord. They're constant in every way. I can say nothing but good about that young lady and her husband. She's constant. At all times, she's constant. Praise the Lord. If Jesus were to drop in today in your home, would he find you being constant?
Yes.
May the Lord help us, saints. May the Lord help us to be constant in every aspect of our life. Jesus Christ, the same. And since he is the same, that's our hope, that when he dwells in us, he can make us strong, steady, constant, no longer unstable in our ways. Thank the Lord. In Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Because his compassion, oh, don't we love his compassion?
Yes.
When we've not been what we should be, or we're taken in a fault, and maybe some sinned. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. His compassions do not fail. God's compassion is constant. His mercy is constant. And because he's constant, he wants to make us constant. They are new every morning. We all love that verse.
Yes.
They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Faithfulness. Constancy. Thank the Lord. When I was a young minister in that non-denominational fellowship that we have now left over nine years ago, looking for the true church, which we have now found, praise the Lord, God's true body of people, we would go to the, similar to the camp meeting, Barnett camp meeting, and prepare it. Only it would be the ministers only would stay there for a month and a half. And on weekends, they'd have work days. And the other saints would come and help us. But we'd stay there and work there. And the sister workers, the sister ministers would cook the meals and wash your clothes. And we'd be out there in the sun and fixing pipes and roofs and painting and everything. Because these grounds were left abandoned, vacant for a year. And then we'd winterize them and then get them ready again, put in the beds. And we'd be getting everything ready. And so we'd stay. They had made a garage, our sleeping quarters, with just wood bunk beds. And we'd sleep there. We'd stay a month and a half or 2 months, depending on the projects that we were doing. And so there was a shower in that garage, and that's where we'd shower. Well, that shower, I found out soon that sometimes I'd be shampooing my head and in a rush to get ready, and it'd go, and it stopped working, and it'd turn off. And here I'd be with shampooing my eyes, and I didn't know which way to turn and what to do. I dreaded getting that shower, especially when I was in a rush, because it was not constant. It did not constantly work. You never know. Sometimes it would and sometimes it wouldn't. Oh, brothers and sisters, there are those that are looking for refreshment from us, like you do from a shower. Are they going to receive it if we're being not constant? May the Lord help us. I had I like to cook. And I haven't always had a timer, but we bought one at a thrift store. It was, you know, the cooking timers that you turn, it goes, and then when it's ready, it goes ring, ring, to tell you that it's done. Well, in the beginning, it did okay, but then after a while, I ended up burning some things because I was busy doing other things, and it would get stuck, and then it wouldn't let me know what's happening, and I burned what I was doing several times. So it kind of made me waste some good food sometimes because it was not constant.
Yes.
I couldn't depend on it. And because it was not constant, I eventually had to get rid of it and get one that was constant. Amen. We have examples of that. Saul in the Old Testament. He was not constant in obeying the Lord, and the Lord had to get somebody else to fill that spot.
Right.
I don't want somebody else to fill the place the Lord has for me. Humble as it may be, may the Lord say, I can depend on you.
Yes.
You're constant. You're not unstable. Praise the Lord. May we be found constant, brothers and sisters. May the Lord not have to take us out of the race because we're not constant. Oh, may the Lord help us. Jude was taken out of the race. He was very unstable in denying the Lord and betraying him. Thank the Lord that Jesus is merciful, and that the other 11, by his grace, continued. Excuse me. Matthew 28, verse 19, we're talking about the Lord's constancy, the Lord's stability. I'm so thankful that he's faithful. We don't have to doubt that he's going to change or that he's going to abandon us the next day. No, he keeps his promises. Matthew 28, verse 19. This is a command to the disciples that we're going to go preach, and it's really for all of us. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. 20, teaching them to observe all things. That's why, brothers and sisters, when we read this word, we're going to see more things to observe. If we're not reading the Bible, we're not sitting in the meetings, there's going to be some things that we're not observing because we're going to be ignorant about it or not going to be encouraged to do it. We're going to get slackened. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. Isn't that comforting? Yes. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. That equips us for going to places like Brother Michael Smith, that goes to places that are very dangerous at times. And we appreciate his service, and we need to pray for him and his family. And lo, I am with you, even unto the end of the world. I'm with you always. God is constant. I'm so thankful that God is constant. Thank the Lord for a constant God. And because we serve a constant God, he wants to make us constant. Thank the Lord. Matthew 26, verse 33. We're going to read a little bit about Peter during his life when he was not constant. Matthew 26, verse 33. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, because of you, Jesus, yet I will never be offended. 34, Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice, three times. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Doesn't that give us hope? That if we're unconstant today, unstable, that he can make us constant? You know what made Peter constant? We're going to find out. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. Let's go to Proverbs. Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24 and verse 16. We all know this verse and love it. For a just man falleth seven times. Yes. And riseth up again. But the wicked shall fall into mischief. Maybe we haven't fallen into sin. Maybe some have. But whatever it is that has fallen short of the mark of what God wants for us, we've fallen. We could fall away from it. Amen? For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. The Lord wants us to be constant in getting up again. Yes. And the devil, when he gets us down, he wants us to not get up again. And oh, everything can look so dark and impossible, and I don't have the courage to go on any longer. I've been through those times. And I was one time advised, never do anything, never make a decision, final decision in your moment of discouragement. Always wait till later on, till the next day even. And you'll find that things will look better. Said that David encouraged himself in the Lord. We can encourage ourselves in the Lord. I've experienced it. One minute I can be so discouraged, even coming to the meeting, seeing nobody there. And then all of a sudden, one by one, start coming in, and I get encouraged again. Yes. I can just feel, I don't even want to speak. I'm so discouraged. There's nobody here. And all of a sudden, see how important you are? That you don't miss the meetings? That you encourage the speaker? That they don't feel like they're going to have to preach the walls? Amen? Thank the Lord. You need to be constantly in your chair, that when the servant of the Lord, the servant of all, that servant that loves you and that has given his or her life, that spent all those hours preparing the message, the meal for you, and then you don't show up. Because you're unstable, you're not constant in your place. When I was growing up, I had not learned to ride a bicycle. I learned everything later in life. I wasn't like the daring type that learned things quickly. I didn't learn how to ride. I learned on training wheels to ride bikes, and I didn't learn how to ride one without training wheels. I guess, I mean, I didn't ride one. What I meant is, I learned how to drive with training wheels, and then for a long time I didn't ride a bike. When I got older, I did not know how to ride a 10-speed without, I'd never had, I guess that we were too poor to have one. So one of my neighbor girls had one, and I wanted to get on it, so I got on it. I was still a little short, and I got on it, and I rode a ways, and I forgot how to stop, and I couldn't stop, and I ended up falling into a ditch. But you know what? Because I really, really wanted to learn how to ride it. What did I do?
Yes.
I got up on it again. Do we really, really want to serve the Lord? Do we really, really want to go all the way with Him? Do we really, really, really want to be a blessing to others? Or are we just thinking about ourselves? If we really, really, really want to learn what the Lord has for us, we're going to get up again.
Amen.
Not pulling ourselves by our own, you know, bootstraps, but rather asking to help us get up again.
Amen.
By His grace, by His power, by inspiring us with faith, with hope. We've been hearing about hope. Amen. Being renewed, being restored. Praise the Lord. He can do it for us. Thank the Lord. I got up again. There was one time some children in the Special Olympics, and they were all running a race, and one little boy got behind. He couldn't run very fast, and he fell. And he was ahead, and he fell. And all the rest kept on running, but all of a sudden they stopped. This is real life, Special Olympics. And they did something that most runners do not do. They turned back around. They all turned back around. They picked up that one that had fallen, picked him up, and they all ran together, crossed the finish line together. Isn't that wonderful? Usually you're thinking, I want to win. I want to be the one to get the honor and the glory. But they didn't think that way. They're still innocent in certain ways. And they went and picked up their friend, their buddy, who had fallen. And they, together, crossed the finish line with him. How do we feel about our brothers and sisters? Do we say, oh, I'm still going on? Oh, they don't really care. Look at them, they fail. It's their fault. Do we have a heart of compassion for our brothers and sisters? Sometimes our brother can get up again and again because of us. With a phone call, with an encouragement. I appreciate you, I love you. Or are we just thinking about our own selves? I haven't done that. How could they do that? May the Lord help us to reach down and pick up the fall and be constant in thinking of others.
Yes.
Encouraging others. May the Lord help us. Hebrews 10, verse 25. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. In the Philippines, there are some congregations, and I've heard testimonies from the church that we left, that these Filipinos don't have any vehicles, of course, and live very far away from the meeting place, the place of worship. And I've heard stories where they have walked sometimes 2 hours to get to the meeting place, cross three rivers sometimes, they've had to put their clothes on top of their head to cross the rivers, place their babies on their shoulders to cross the rivers to get to the meeting, to get to the place of worship, to come and encourage one another to worship the Lord. Amen. Thank the Lord. And brothers and sisters, we have vehicles. Brothers and sisters, some of us don't live very far from the meeting place. What's our excuse? How is it that if those people that have very little are willing to walk 2 hours to the meeting, and we who have so much can make so many piddly excuses for not being in meeting, not being in the meeting, and much less also not being on time? May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us. You're on time for your work. I'm not condemning anybody. I'm just saying that we all need to keep our appointment with the Lord. It's with the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Amen. Thank the Lord. Not forsaking. Forsaking. Oh, I would never do that. Well, it starts little by little. Pretty soon, You've forsaken the whole thing. Now forsaking is summing ourselves together. It's doctrine, brothers and sisters. As the manner or the habit, is another version, the habit of some is. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. I've been in meetings through my past years of worshiping the Lord, where I have seen men and women steadily constant there all the time, never missing for. I can tell you that in my years of serving the Lord, I think I missed one time the meeting because I could not get up. I was so sick. I would take my clothes to work. I'd arranged my workplaces so I could be off on Sunday for the meeting, off on Wednesday for the meeting. I'd take my clothes with me if it was work that was dirty, change in the restaurant, eat in the restaurant as close as I could to the meeting place, read my study for that day, and then go to the meeting. I'm not boasting. I'm just telling you it can be done. It can be done where you can put the Lord first of all in your life. It'll help you to be constant in that area of our lives. Amen. Thank the Lord. What if all of you decided not to come this morning? You do matter. You do make a difference.
Yes.
When we look over there and see you every Sunday, every Wednesday, praise the Lord, it just, you regain. It tells us in Acts that this, I don't remember the exact circumstances, but Paul, he was taken on his journey a certain way. I think it was Ipe for him. And when he saw the saints, it says that he gained courage. I don't remember the exact words. When he saw them.
Yes.
Someone know what it was that it says there? That he gained courage. I can't remember the exact verse. But anyway, it's true. We do give encourage one another when we see you. And through the years, not just you continuing, being constant, continuing. Maybe somebody might not tell you that, but they're seeing you and they're going, oh, this is the church of God. You're constant. There's something wonderful about seeing those that are constant in their place. May the Lord help us to be constant in our place. Thank the Lord. It tells us in the epistle of Peter, 1 Peter. Peter was so unconstant. You know, he started walking unstable. He started walking in the ocean. Remember, he sank because he looked at the boisterous wind around him. He denied Jesus those three times. He cut off the ear of that certain man. Remember that. And so many things that he said, and he was not constant. But we have hope because Peter did not die that way, right? Amen? Why did he not die that way? Well, sure, the Lord looked at him, and he wept, went out and wept bitterly. One of them was repentance, yes, but in Acts chapter 2, they were all waiting for the Holy Spirit. They were sanctified. Amen? A more stronger hold, the second work of grace that stabilizes us, that makes us constant. Amen?
Yes.
When he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he no longer was denying Jesus. He stood up amongst them and started prophesying. Amen? Thank the Lord. And look what it tells us here. Peter, who was ashamed to confess Jesus in front of a little young damsel. Three times he said no, and it was shameful. He was weak. They were all afraid. It was a test, but he was still not constant. But a change took place. The Holy Spirit entered him. And if we give full rein to the Holy Spirit, that'll make us constant and steady. Nothing else can. It's the Holy Spirit that is all powerful and that can make us constant and steady. Thank the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Think of along the lines of him denying Jesus. Now read this. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. When he was asked, you were with Jesus, what did he say? I know him not. No, I was not. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. This is a letter that he wrote. This letter got spread everywhere. We still have it today. It could have fallen into the wrong hands. He could have gotten killed right away. By the way, he did lose his life at the end. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But I just want to show, we all know this, but to focus on this, be refreshed by it. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. He's confessing it, writing this letter. It could fall into the hands of anybody. To the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This doesn't sound like the same Peter to me. It's no longer an unstable Peter. More constant. Thank the Lord. Second epistle of Peter. He wrote it again. He did it again the second time. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Excuse me. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Thank the Lord he said it again. You see the difference between denying him and now confessing him? Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like, he was numbering himself with God's people, no longer denying, like precious faith, with us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Oh, if we don't know the leading of the Holy Spirit, if we don't know what it means to submit to the Holy Spirit, let's ask the Lord to help us. John 13, verse 1, the Gospel according to John, chapter 13, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. He loved them unto the end. God wants us to have this love that's constant. It'll help us to love one another to the end. Do we find ourselves getting irritated with one another? No longer willing to forbear with one another? We're starting to criticize one another. What produces love in our hearts? The first fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. There we go back again to the Holy Spirit. Maybe we're no longer being led of the Holy Spirit then, if we're not loving the way that Jesus loved. Jesus loved them unto the end. Yes. And when Christ comes and dwells in us, the Bible says God is love. Jesus is love, and he dwells in us. We're going to have his love in us. It's not like the love of the world. The love of the world, when it goes a certain distance, then I've had it. Amen? Yes. Jesus loved them unto the end. Oh, isn't that wonderful? May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us, because it can only come from him. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. We all know this chapter about charity, which means love. Not human love, but the love of God. It's different than the love that God put within us as humans. This love comes from God. It comes with the Holy Spirit. We're not born with this type of love. It is a result. It is a fruit of salvation, a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Charity suffereth long, it says in verse 4. I'll just stop there. Charity suffereth long and is kind. I've given studies on this, on every aspect of love, but we're just going to focus on charity suffereth long. Right away you're going, wow. We have microwaves, you press the button, you don't want to wait long. We have drive-thrus and McDonald's, you can get your food right away. We want everything fast. Yes. But love, the love of God in our heart suffers long. Yes. It's much more patient with others. If we don't have that, if we're lacking it, maybe we're becoming unstable. May the Lord help us to have this love that is constant, a constant love, an unchanging love, an unfailing love. We want God to always love us. Our brothers and sisters feel the same way. We want to be loved by one another. Let brotherly love continue, brothers and sisters. Amen. Thank the Lord. I thank you for your love. I'm thankful for your love. I've experienced your constant love, different ones of you here, in different ways, and I praise the Lord for your love. Matthew 18, verse 15. God wants us to be constant in forgiving the trespasses of others against us. Matthew 18, verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee. It tells us that it's possible. Others can trespass against us. Go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. I don't know what it is about God's people at times that we feel that we have to go tell everybody first. Yes, there's time for counseling, times when we need to unload and need help with the situation. I'm not referring to that. I'm talking about the spiteful thing where you want to tell everybody because you're mad with the person and you want them to look bad. You go and tell everybody, but you don't go and talk to that person between you and them. Amen? Are we going to obey the Word of God? May the Lord help us. Go between you and them. And you know what's going to happen? If you're humble and they're the God's child and they're meek, it's going to be done with right there, settled and done with. Amen? Yes, it will be. It will be because, oh, no, I didn't mean it. Oh, no, you didn't. Right away, forgiveness. But if there's one lacking in that, you can expect that they're not going to forgive you, but you've done your part. Amen? But it tells us to take another step here. Verse 16, but if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. Sometimes we give up when we try and nobody, it doesn't work. Now it says bring somebody that's constant in the body of Christ and take him with you. Jesus said that for a reason. It must work. May the Lord help us to try it, to do it if we're not doing it. Verse 17, and if he neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. Now we can tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. 18, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on the earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. I think he's referring about praying about this matter. Yeah. This problem that you're having with your brother. It's inserted right in there. It includes everything, but I think he's right here. He's referring to bring it in prayer before the Lord. 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him till seven times? See, Peter? Peter was only willing to go up to seven times. And he said, I'll just throw in a few years. Maybe the Lord's going to say, wow, Peter, you're long suffering. Seven times is a long time. No, Peter. Jesus said unto him, I say unto thee until seven times. I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. That to me is overwhelming. But when you have the love in the heart of the Lord, it's easy to do. It is. When you humble yourself, you're willing to overlook it. And really, you want it to be right because you don't want any problems between you and your brother when you have the love of the Lord in your heart. If you don't, then there will be a problem. You'll let it linger on for years. It'll affect your children. It'll affect your families. It'll affect your congregation. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us to be constant in forgiving. May the Lord help us to remember Jesus who said on the cross, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Do we have that attitude? You know, they knew exactly what they were doing. Maybe they really didn't. Jesus, give them that benefit of the doubt. I want to sing a song. It has to do with forgiveness. Bear with me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Some of you have heard me sing this song. Give me a heart that's tender, true, a heart that's kind, a heart that's new, and let it be like thine, O Lord, in every deed and every word. Take out the stony heart, take out the bitterness. Give me a gracious heart that's full of tenderness. A heart that understands, that will not fret or pine. Give me a tender heart, a heart like thine. Give me a heart from sin set free, unworthy though my life may be, and may thy spirit its temple fill, and teach me to obey thy will. May I forget the wrong someone has done to me, and show the tenderness of Christ on Calvary. Let tears of sorrow come and all my ways refine. Give me a tender heart, a heart like thine. Give me a heart that knows no guile, a heart forgiving all the while, a heart that reaches to do a deed and stoops to help a friend in need. I want to, I want to feel the pain my neighbors often know, and lend a helping hand if he be friend or foe. I want to share the loss in every will or woe, and have a tender heart where'er I go. That song touches my heart. Do we have a hard heart? May it touch our hearts, brothers and sisters. May we be constant in forgiving. Jesus showed us how to do it. He's equipped us with his love to do it. He's given us the formula of what to do when there's problems. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Psalms, Psalm 34. Praise the Lord. Psalm 34. Verse 1, the Lord wants us to be constant in praising him. We came from a church, from a fellowship, like I said, from age 14 all the way until 9 years ago. I'm 46 now. That they said thank the Lord. They would say thank you, but it was very quiet. I rarely heard them say praise the Lord, glory to God, hallelujah, I praise you, Jesus. Hardly ever heard it. But yet it's in the Bible. And Jesus told us, for us, the servants, to teach you all, to observe all things whatsoever he had commanded. And it's our duty to do it, brothers and sisters. Just like we say, the Bible says we ought to wash one another's feet. We emphasize ought. The Bible says we ought to praise God. Yes, number one, we ought to praise him with our mind. We ought to praise him with our heart. But what if you walked around and never said, I love you to your wife, never said, you look beautiful, honey, thank you for what you did, and you just said, oh, I'm doing it with my mind. The Lord wants us to express it, brothers and sisters. Let's not say, oh, I don't want to be like the Pentecostals. We don't want... You're going to let a Pentecostal stop you from praising the Lord? What a silly excuse. May the Lord help us. Oh, I'm too quiet. I don't like to shout and praise the Lord. I'll tell you, in the church that I was a part of, I never shouted nor praised the Lord. When we were criticized about doing it, I started examining my prayer when I prayed, and I found I never said, I praise you, Lord. I never said, glory to your name. I never said, oh, bless the Lord. I never said hallelujah. Much less, I wouldn't even listen to a song that said hallelujah because I thought it was religious. But yet, I would read it in the Bible and I would gloss over it because it was the Old Testament, I thought. It's in the past. Always in the beginning that they did it. It was done in the old. It was done in the beginning of the church. And it's going to be done in heaven. Yes. Are we learning the song? Are we getting prepared? We're so used to practicing for something. You practice for the song here. But are you practicing to be there? Are you going to be numbered against those that are shouting and praising the Lord? You say, oh, Brother Tony, that's not in the Bible. Yes, it is. And we're the true church of God. We say we're the Bible church. We keep the word of God. I'm not saying that no one here is praising the Lord. I'm not the judge. Let's see what the Bible says. The Lord wants us to be constant in praising him. Thank the Lord. Psalms 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Verse 2. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Yes. I started studying that. I looked up in the Concordance, the word exalt, praise, hallelujah. All those words that are used to glorify the Lord, magnify, and I found out I was not using those words. But yet God's people did, then in the past, under the law. They did it under the beginning of the New Testament church, and they're doing it in heaven. And we say that we match up to the Bible. Let us examine ourselves, brothers and sisters. Let us examine ourselves and say what has happened. I've read in the testimonies of the Church of God, it's common for them to say, praise the Lord, in their writings, in their letters, in the writings, in the songs, the hymn book. It's praise the Lord, hallelujah, all these words of praise to the Lord. May the Lord help us, brothers and sisters. Psalms 106 and verse 48. This is a very startling verse. Maybe somebody will be startled by it if you've been glossing over it like I used to. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And let all of the people say, who has it out there? We're in Psalms 106 and verse 48. And let all the people say, praise you the Lord. Amen. Praise you the Lord. And let all the people say, amen. Do you know that you can encourage your servant that stands before you to speak the message, or when somebody's singing or giving their testimony, when you're paying attention and say amen? It's a doctrine of the Bible. It's in the Bible. Let all the people of God say amen and praise you the Lord. Amen? Thank the Lord. Oh, but Brother Tony, that's the Old Testament. Yes, it is. Let's go to Psalms. Psalm 71 and verse 14. But I will hope continually. There's that hope again. He wants us to hope continually. And will yet praise thee more and more. You know, when I found out that I didn't praise the Lord, that I didn't utilize those words that I'm talking about, I would say I'm thankful. I'd say that a lot. But if you notice in the Old Testament, it says that Daniel praised and thanked the Lord, or thanked the Lord and praised them. They're used together. Thanks is a type of praise. But praising the Lord, you can thank even your brothers and sisters, but we can't exalt them in that way. Only one is worthy of praise, amen. And that's Jesus. And to Him it is due. It is due to Him. He inhabits the praises of His people. And I just love that He wants to make us constant in praise. And that was the desire of the servant of the Lord. Oh, make me more constant in praise. Yes. I want to praise Thee more and more. And I started examining my prayers, and when I preach, and when I write letters, and I started inserting those words in there. Because the Bible tells me to do it. Amen. Thank the Lord. Amen. Let's examine our prayers when we pray. Let's examine our testimonies. Let's examine our worship service. Are we deleting those words out? And why are we doing it? May the Lord help us to examine ourselves, brothers and sisters. We are the Bible church. Thank the Lord. Let's go to Psalms 86. Psalms 86 and verse 12. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and will glorify thy name forevermore. Forevermore. This person was alive. He was 20. From now on, through all eternity, I'm going to praise you forevermore. He wanted a constant praise. The Lord is looking for a constant praise, the fruit of our lips. Amen. That it be continually a praise going up, like it says in Hebrews. Maybe Hebrews 11, I can't remember what it is. Or 12:11. Thank the Lord. That's the fruit of our lips. A sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Revelation chapter 7. Revelation 7. This is where we're going to be saying. We're going to be among these people. Are we going to look at them and go, why are you shouting so much? And why are you saying hallelujah? What's wrong with you? I don't think that's going to happen. But let's see what it says here in Revelation 7 verse 9. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, verse 10, and cried, I'm not going to fit in that group, with a loud voice, forget it, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God. Let's say it together. Who has it? Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God. What did they do when they were worshiping God? Verse 12, let's say it together. It says they were saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Whoops, there's that word. Amen again. Verse 13. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? 14. And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, a constant tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. The blood washed will praise the Lord. It'll just bubble out of your heart into your lips, and others will hear it. Amen. Thank the Lord. May the Lord help us, brothers and sisters, to learn how to praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. May the Lord help us. Praise the Lord. He is so faithful and so good, brothers and sisters. Let's go to Revelation 19. Revelation 19. Verse 1, and after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, oops, there's that word again, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Verse 2, for true and righteous are his judgments, for he has judged the great whore. We'll just go down to verse 4. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshipped God. This is what they did when they worshipped God. That sat on the throne saying, what were they saying, saints?
Amen
and alleluia. Is it missing out of our vocabulary, brothers and sisters? Do we only sing it in the songs? Verse 5. And a voice came out of the throne saying, who sits on the throne?
God.
And a voice came from the throne saying, what did God say?
Praise our God.
So why should we praise God? Who do we want to obey? Praise our God, all ye servants, and ye that fear him. Do we fear God? We're going to praise him. Small and great. Verse 6. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many... That's a noisy congregation. And as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings... I thought the services was to be quiet. And as the voice of mighty thunderings saying, they're saying it again. What are they saying, saints?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor. Let us give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. We're all individually, collectively responsible to fulfill what the Lord asks us to do. Let's not depend on our brothers and sisters. We're all collectively responsible. The Lord wants to make us constant. In the New Testament, you remember when Jesus was entering on the little colt that was prophesied of him? What happened? They weren't quiet. It says that they all with a loud voice began to praise the Lord. So much to the point that the scribes and Pharisees got upset. And they said, tell your disciples to be quiet. That was the New Testament. Amen. That was, well, it was before the New Testament was set into force by the blood of Jesus, but Jesus came to bring us the New Testament. His teachings are a part of the New Testament. He was teaching that. Amen. Praise the Lord. They were praising him with a loud voice, so much to the point that the false religion was telling them to shut up. And Jesus said, if these were to what? If these were to be quiet, keep quiet, the stones would cry out. Oh, may the Lord help us, saints. May the Lord help us to not say, oh, well, it isn't born out of my heart. Do you really feel like foot washing all the time? There might be days when you don't feel like foot washing, but you do it anyway, right?
Yes.
There might be times when you don't feel like praying, right? But you know if you don't do it, you might get into trouble. There are times when you don't feel like reading the Bible, but we do it. Amen. There might be times when you don't feel like coming to the meeting, but you do. You have a responsibility. We have a responsibility. May it, first of all, be born out of our hearts. May we feel it. May we want to praise the Lord.
Amen.
May the Lord help us. Oh, the Lord wants to make us constant in praise, giving him the honor and the glory. Remember that man that gave the speech, and Herod in Acts. And it says that the people said, oh, he is a god. And it says that the worms immediately ate him. Why? Because he gave God not the glory. He did not give God the glory. May we say, glory to God. Somebody compliments us and go, glory to God. Glory goes to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. To him goes the glory. Oh, may the Lord help us, brothers and sisters. I feel the Lord is asking me to speak a little bit about another constant. I'm not too sure why, if it is needed here or not, but the Lord knows all things. The Lord wants us to be constant parents. Constant in our parenting. Amen. Thank the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 6. The Word of God tells those that are parents how to be constant. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently, constantly, faithfully, unwaveringly, unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Isn't that pretty constant? All the time, from the time you get up to the time you go to bed. And I know we live in a world where sometimes the mother and the father are working, and there could be very little time. You might have to sacrifice your time to do it. I'm sure everyone here is already doing it. Maybe somebody here needs encouragement along those lines. I don't know. You have a responsibility to teach them. Some parents are sitting there giving the responsibility to the TV. That's so sad. That TV is going to teach your child to commit adultery, lie, steal, cheat, do wrong. Amen? Yes? But you set the Word of God before that child. And what is that child going to learn? The things of the Lord. I'm saddened. I used to teach our neighborhood charades, the Bible to charades. I'd act Daniel, you know, David, slinging a Goliath and all that. And then they try to guess what it was. Sometimes they couldn't guess because they didn't know who David was and what he did to Goliath. They didn't know the most simplest. They didn't know who Mary was and know who Joseph was. And these kids were 8, 9, and 10. Oh, my heart broke. But it made me more firm to want to teach them the Word of God by playing charades. If they come and knock on the door and say, is Tony home? Lisette, can you let him come out and play with us? It always made me laugh. But anyway, thank the Lord that there are parents in this room that don't need somebody else to teach your kids, although they're receiving teaching from others, but the responsibility is the individual parents. Lord, talk about a mission work. That's our mission work. Praise the Lord. He wants us to be constant in teaching our children the Word of God. The Word of God. The Word of God. Amen. Thank the Lord. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. He that spareth his rod loves his son. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. But he that loveth him chasteneth him bedtimes. Betimes. Amen. We live in a world that's saying, oh, don't be too harsh on your child. Don't discipline it because he's going to come out deformed somehow. He's going to get behind. He's going to have to go visit a psychiatrist afterwards when he gets older. Not if you do it the Bible way and you have the Holy Spirit. Amen. Don't shrink away from doing it just because somebody is misusing it. Amen. Ask the Lord to give you wisdom. The Lord is faithful to give wisdom. Thank the Lord as to how to do it. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 20, verse 30. The blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil, so do stripes the inward parts of the belly. Let's go to Proverbs 23 and verse 14. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from what? From hell. We have a certain sister coming to our meeting. And she's growing by leaps and bounds. She's only 17. She loves the Lord. And she has a 1.5-year-old son. And when we met them, she did not want to discipline her child. And when her husband wanted to discipline him, he'd say, oh no, don't do that. Don't hurt him. And the baby would look at her and run to her and hide with her because the daddy wanted to discipline and she wouldn't let him. One night, the Lord moved me to teach on a lot of these verses. And they gave testimony in their home and stood up and they said that they had failed. They didn't realize that was in the Bible, although they read the Bible, and that they were going to do it from then. And they have been. And I've seen that drastic change in that child. That child would scream and yell in the meeting, run around. Now he sits there, and like I said the other night, he even comes to the altar and bows like this for me to pray. Oh, just a beautiful child. When we're singing, the song that says, beautiful, beautiful robes, na 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 na, that song, when we sing it in Spanish, and he'll go, when we reach the part, he goes, ah, he sings along with us, so beautiful. They've only been coming to meeting for 4 months. He's just so cute. And when he gets excited, he goes, when he starts singing the song, he gets excited and rejoices in the Lord. We didn't teach him to do that, by the way. He just, the songs that you can feel the Holy Spirit inspiring them, make them fresh. And even the little child, the 1.5-year-old, the Evening Light songs can feel it. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. He shall not die. Do your child a favor of correcting it. Why? Because you want to deliver it from hell. Amen? Thank the Lord. Amen. The Lord wants the parents to be constant in the correcting. You show him or her who's boss. Don't give in. Follow through. If you say you're going to punishment or take something away, do it. Don't just say like some parents, I'm going to hit you. I'm going to take that toy away from you if you don't listen. And then they let them keep on doing it. Then you're lying to your kid then. They're going to learn that you don't mean what you say. And then they're not going to respect you. And they're going to be the ones that are going to get that gun and shoot you when they get older or rob you because they're on drugs. May the Lord help us, brothers and sisters. May the Lord help us to be constant. I'm not speaking from experience of having children myself. We're reading the Word of God. Proverbs 23, verse 13. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. There's a very cushioned part on the behind of the child. I'm sure the Lord placed it there for that purpose. He will not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. We're not talking about abuse, please. I've known parents that will try to discipline their child when they're angry. Don't do it when you're angry, because you know what happens when you're angry. You do things you regret. Wait till you're no longer angry. Tell them you're in trouble. You're in trouble for what you did. And if you're not angry, go ahead and discipline the child. But if he's made you angry, or she, you wait. You tell him, we're going to talk about this later, and there will be a discipline for what you did. You can go to your room now, or whatever you want to do. Don't discipline him while you're angry. I heard of a man that did it when he was angry just recently. He got the child and slung him against the wall, little baby, and just killed it. And you hear about this in the newspapers. We're not talking about that. We're talking about loving, caring, discipline, that they understand what you're doing and why you're doing it. Amen. And the Lord can help us to be constant. Again, I'm not speaking from experience. I did help raise my 2 little sisters. We've experienced taking care of kids. My wife also was a nanny for many years. The Word of God works. Praise the Lord. The Lord wants us to be constant in raising our children. May the Lord help us to be constant, brothers and sisters. A pearl is formed by constant irritation. A diamond by constant pressure. A vessel becomes useful by constant molding of the Lord. Praise the Lord.